But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land, concerning that which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Let's pray. God, our Father, we come to you tonight and we lay our hearts bare before you. And we ask that you would search us, that you would show to us anything that is in our lives that is a hindrance between us and you. Lord, we confess our sins, our distractions, our frailties. And we ask that you would move and work in our lives. Lord, as we open your powerful and amazing word this evening, I pray that you would be speaking to our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would be preparing our ears and our hearts to hear from you. And that, Lord, the mighty and powerful message that you have for us would be resounding in each of our hearts and changing our lives. Lord, I thank you for all that you've given. I thank you for the opportunity we have to listen to you. Lord, help us to take advantage, full advantage, of being in your presence and hearing from you. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. If you remember, the last time I spoke on a Wednesday, we said that we would be looking at some of the prayers of the Bible. And I started with the first prayer that I found in the Bible, defining prayer as a time when a man spoke to God without response, without direct response. And tonight I'd like to continue that study, but because there are so many great interactions between God and man in the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus and others like it, in which God replies, I decided to include this one. It's not directly, as we would consider it, a prayer. It is much more a conversation. But in the Old Testament patriarchs and in those stories, very seldom does man institute a conversation with God. Generally, those conversations between man and God start with God coming to the man and saying, Abraham, and Abraham saying, here I am, or something along those lines. God coming in human form, in many cases, to speak with Abraham. But in this case, Moses returns to God and asks a question. And I'm not exactly sure what that looked like, but apparently somehow Moses knew that there would be a place, that there would be a way for him to go and talk to God, and I believe fully expected an answer. And so in that sense, it makes this story unique. There's also uniqueness in just the content of Moses' prayer and the manner in which he prays. And he comes to God and he talks to him. So first, let's set the background of the story. I believe that most of you probably are very familiar with this story. This is the precursor to the 10 plagues. Moses he lived in Egypt for 40 years. He got kicked out of Egypt, or kicked himself out of Egypt, went to the desert for 40 years, and now he's just met God in the burning bush, and God has sent him back to Pharaoh, sent him to Aaron to go with Moses to Pharaoh. And so Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "Let the people go." And Pharaoh said, "No." And Moses said, "Well, let us go out to the land of Goshen and worship for 3 days." And Pharaoh said, "Yeah, right. I see what you're doing. I'm not going to let that happen. In fact, if you guys have enough time to consider all of these idle schemes and ways to get out of work, I'm going to make you work harder." And so Pharaoh said, "Don't give them straw for their bricks. Let them go pick the straw. Let them make the bricks with the straw that they picked, and expect them to do the same amount of work that they did before, even with this added labor." So the Israelites turned around, and Moses has come in, and he talked to them too. He said, "I'm here, and God is going to deliver us." And the Israelites turned around to Moses, and they said, "Moses, what did you come here for? You're not making anything better. We have to work harder now, because you came and you talked to Pharaoh." And the idea was, do us a favor and go away. Go live in the desert again, where you can't hurt anybody. So Moses comes to God and says, "God, what happened? Why didn't this work? Why is it that when you promised that good was coming, evil has come to your people?" And he says, "Because when I came to Pharaoh, he has done evil to this people, and you haven't delivered them at all." Now it's a pretty gutsy prayer. I mean, for Moses to go before the great God, the Almighty God, as he was known before, the God that Moses has just learned is the I Am, who is and who was and who always will be, the Eternal One, the Self-Sufficient One. Moses had the special revelation of that name. He was the God that spoke to him from a burning bush without letting that bush consume. It just burned, no smoke. He's the God that turned his hand to leprosy and then turned it back again. He's the God that turned a piece of wood into a living snake and then back again. I mean, Moses knows all these things, and he comes to God and says, "God, what happened? Didn't I do what I was supposed to?" And so we have our prayer to consider. So consider what he prayed and why. He asked the Lord why things hadn't worked out the way he thought they would, why instead they'd gone quite the opposite direction. He was praying, I believe, out of confusion, desperation, woundedness, and he prayed openly from his heart. I don't think Moses was in any way trying to put up a front with his prayer. Moses doesn't come to God, and it's something that we've seen twice already. There's no flowery language for God. He's not saying, "God of Abraham, God of Jacob, God of Isaac, O thou great and holy God, creator of all the world, I know that you are this. I know that you've done this," because that's not what was on his mind. And I'm not saying that it's not right to do those things, to praise the Lord, to speak to him reverently and completely. But in the times of the patriarchs, in the times of Moses, they have respect, but they talk to God like he's a person who's interested in hearing what they have to say. And to some extent, that's kind of unique. It's kind of different than our prayers. Our prayers take on this language of their own. And they're not well, they're not publicly, but perhaps they are privately, a conversation between us and the one who loves us. Between us and the one who's adopted us into his family. But Moses comes and he says, God, I don't understand. Why have you done this? Why has it happened this way? So the question is, was it right for Moses to pray like this? Is this a Job-like, self-righteous prayer? God, I did everything right, and you sent this? That's what Job did. There's nothing wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. And you sent this. It'd be better if I had never lived. I don't think Moses is complaining. And the reason I don't think that is because God doesn't turn around and say, Moses, be quiet. He doesn't say, Moses, make a sacrifice for yourself. You've wronged me. He says, Moses, I am the Lord, Jehovah. I am the Almighty God of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham. I didn't even tell them that my name was Jehovah, but I've told you. Moses, do you trust me? Do you believe that I'm a covenant-keeping God? Do you believe that I care about these people? Do you believe that I've heard and I've promised and I will do what I've promised? In effect, that's how God replies. But it's more of a statement. He says, I am this, I am that, and I will do this. I have heard their groanings. I did make a covenant with them. I will complete it. And so it is that out of this prayer, out of this questioning, Moses learns more about God. Moses learns more about God than has been revealed to anyone else previous. Moses is the first one to hear his name. It's a special privilege that was given during Moses' time. So my answer to why was it right for him to pray like this is that while I believe it is always better to faithfully and humbly accept what God is doing and to lay yourself before him and say, God, you're sovereign, you have a plan. I don't believe that it was wrong, however. I don't ever believe that the Lord will wrong us by coming to him openly and honestly and saying, God, I have this issue and I need it cleared up. I believe, and personally, maybe I'm projecting myself toward God, which is a terrible and horrible thing to do. But if someone comes to me and they have an issue with me and they tell me instead, you're doing a great job in this other area. It's nice to see you today. And I never know what's going on inside their heart. And they don't want to be honest with me. It hurts more. It's worse than if they were just open. Would you guys agree? It's worse to come and pretend that it doesn't bother you. It's worse to put up a front and try and fool someone into thinking everything's okay. And it's definitely worse when that person knows everything you're thinking and knows that you're putting up a front. If Moses had this issue, had this question with God, the very best thing he could do is go to God and say, I have this issue. I have this question. What's the answer? And in hindsight, as we look back on the story, we can easily see that God was right and Moses was wrong. If Moses waltzes into Pharaoh's palace and says, "Let the people go," and Pharaoh says, "Okay." And the Israelites leave, and then Pharaoh says, "I need more work. I need more workers. Let's go get them again." Then Pharaoh has the ability to change his mind and decide the other way. Even worse, if Moses' second plan had worked, "Let us go out to the wilderness and worship for 3 days," which I understand Moses to be thinking, "We'll get out of Egypt and then we'll keep going." If that had worked, then Pharaoh would have been angry and searching after the Israelites. But the way that God did it, Pharaoh would never want to come after the Israelites again. "I don't want to go through that again." He pushed them out of Egypt. And he did come after them at the Red Sea, and he learned not to do that. And because God was in control of it, the Egyptians knew that the Israelites had a great and a powerful God behind them that wasn't going to take any flack from anybody. And we see one of the beautiful things about prayer that I understand about prayer is that when we pray, we audibly put our thoughts about God into our own ears, and we get to hear what we're thinking. And we get to reevaluate all of those things that have gone through our head and sat in there and sounded just great. But then when they're said out loud, we understand maybe we missed it a little bit. Furthermore, I think that prayer is a wonderful time for God to redirect our focus and to say, "You're praying this way, but I'm going to show you that that's not the way you should be thinking." If Moses on the first try had led the people out of Israel, who would the people have worshipped? Moses. If it takes 10 plagues and killing the entire army in the Red Sea, who do the people worship? God. At least for about 2 months, and then they forget. But they worship God. And they continue to worship God for what He does in getting them out of Egypt for the rest of their history. Including into the Psalms, when David says, "You are the God that brought us out of Egypt." God knew what He was doing. And Moses didn't. So Moses came and he asked, and God showed him. That's what I get out of this prayer. Come and ask. Be frank and open with God and say, "God, where is this heading? I'm struggling. I need You." And let Him answer. Let's pray. God, we thank You for all that You've given. We thank You for Your availability, for Your willingness to listen, to hear. Lord, most of all, for Your amazing and powerful willingness to act. Lord, that we can count on You to do wonderful things. And Lord, You take the times when we doubt, when we don't understand, when we're troubled by what we see You do. You take those times not to display some weakness of Your own, far be it, not to punish us or to Lord, not for evil, but you take those times when we come to you with questions and you reveal to us things that we weren't looking for. You change our focus and our mindset to stop looking at the things and the issues and the distractions and the people and to see you. Lord, may we seek first the kingdom of God. May we train our eyes and focus on you and trust in you in all our ways and acknowledge you and let you direct our paths. Lord, be patient with us when we have questions. Reveal yourself to us as you did to Moses. Show us more of your name, your character. Lord, we thank you for your willingness to fulfill your promises, your great and lovely person that we can depend on, that we can learn from, that we can love. God, I thank you for being sovereign and in control, and that all is done under your guidance. We thank you for being a wonderful God. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.